Okay, Bethel, it is good to be back with you today. My name is Josh. Last week, you sent me to New England to preach at one of your church mission partnerships, the Well Church. Some of you sent me to New England thinking I would never come back. Ha! Joke's on you, I'm back. Well, thank you for partnering with missions in Dominican and New England and Montgomery Church. You are truly making a difference. The Well is in a great place with Pastor Scott Kearney leading. And last week, Pastor Danny Corson, our associational mission strategist, led us in the book of Jude. And today, I will be finishing that book with you. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Join me in the book of Jude. It's where we will begin and continue our worship. If you say, Pastor, I have no clue where Jude is, well, you're not alone. Find Revelation, go to the end of the Bible, find Revelation, and then turn to the left, like one page, maybe a half page. It is right before Revelation. And as you find Jude, let me remind you of some of our experiences together. Some of you love the beach. Some of you love going to the beach, but you never go to the beach. You just sit in a condo, but that's between you and the Lord. You like the idea of going to a beach, but you never go. But if you've ever actually been to a beach or gone to the water, you know that if you stand in the water or stand where the water meets the sand, that the waves have a tendency to wash the sand beneath your feet. And if you venture out a little further, these waves come over and over and over again. And if you wade out deeper, then you're jumping up between the waves, and then another wave will hit you. It's not just, though, the present danger of the waves in front of you. Unbeknownst to some of us, that there are undertows or tides that are bringing us out into the larger bodies of water. And I think that's representative of the Christian experience. That in many of our lives, there is false teaching that is hitting us in the face over and over and over again. And as we try to catch our breath, we have the tide or the undertow of compromise that is trying to drag us away from our faith. And to that experience, Jude writes the book of Jude to a local church. And in verse 3, he says, we will contend for the faith that was once handed down from the apostles. Absolute truth given from an absolute Savior. And Jude reminds us to hold firm to what is true in our lives. And that is why we gather. We gather here locally at a local church every week because we believe that we are sinners. And we believe the truth of what the Bible says is that God sent his one and only Son, that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And we become the righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, why not today? Why not right now? You can tune me out for the next 80 minutes if you want. If you give your life to Christ, that is the greatest decision that you will ever make. And you don't need a pastor. You don't need an aisle. You don't even need a Baptist church to come to faith. You need conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you need faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior. So whether you are watching online or you are here in person, seek the Lord Jesus. Jude desires this for our lives. And then he picks up in verse 20. He says, be careful of the waves of false teaching. Be careful of the undertow of compromise in your life. But then he says, but you, Christian, as you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Have mercy on those who waver, because God knows that sometimes we do. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Have mercy on others, but with fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Then he says in verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, protect you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory without blemish and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Christ Jesus our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. How do we contend for the faith? Today, Jude gives us the heart of that fight. Let's pray. Father, we have read your word. Words that are living and active. Words that divide the very division between joint and marrow, flesh and spirit. Lord, divide rightly our hearts today. Where there is sin, bring conviction. Where there is wavering, Lord, bring mercy. Where there is arrogance and obstinance, Lord, break our hearts of stone. And Lord, give us the heart of the matter, that we contend by faith out of a deep love through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, this is our petition. This is our hope of glory. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Well, Jude gives us really three things, three ways that we contend for the faith. First, he says, stand firm. Then he's going to say, stand out. And then he's going to say, stand up. So those will be the three rhythms that we look at in the word today. Now, Jude starts and says, contend for the faith. Now, let me pause. Because when you hear the word contend, some of you are already lacing up your gloves. You said, Pastor said I could fight. You're getting out your spiritual ninja stars, ready to throw them. Some of you are hearing in your mind, you're hearing the voice of the Mortal Kombat. Finish him. That's not what Jude is saying. He doesn't give you a blank slate and say, contend for the faith any way that you want. No, he prescribes that we contend, and then he describes how that happens in our lives. And he starts by using this small contrastive word. He says, but, verse 20. He says, there's been heresy, there's fighting, there's difficulty, but you are different. He's saying, we don't fight like the world. We fight, but we don't fight like the world because they fight with flesh and blood. We fight in spirit. So if you're worried, well, Pastor, I'm not a fighter. How can I contend? Well, we don't fight fair. We fight with the Holy Spirit who convicts the core of every person who has ever lived. For the fighters in the room, you say, let's game on. I'm about to fight somebody. Holy Spirit, you stand back and watch me punch him in the nose. Jude says, no, we are different. But you, oh man, but you, oh sister, we fight with the Holy Spirit, and this is what it looks like. Stand firm. Stand firm. Verse 21 actually is the pivot point of how we stand firm. It is the grammatical and the theological center of how you stand. It's the second half in English, but it's the first portion in the Greek. And we stand firm by keeping yourselves in the love of God. What does this mean? Does this mean that you keep yourself in God's love? Or does this mean that God keeps you in his love? And one day when I see Jude face to face, I'm going to ask him, hey, what did you mean? And he's going to probably smirk and say, well, first, Pastor, the Holy Spirit inspired me. You take it up with him. But then he's going to say, I meant yes. On one hand, believers persevere only by God's sustaining grace. Because if it was up to you and I to keep ourselves by our merit and our strength in God's love, we cannot do that on our own. And Jude would say, okay, you're getting somewhere. You're hearing the point. Were it not for God's keeping power, we would drift away. Yet on the other hand, the same grace that keeps us is the same grace that causes us to active obedience. So if you say, well, I don't have to keep myself in anything because God keeps me, God holds me, God loves me, God saves me, God's grace keeps me, I can do whatever I want. Jude would say, are you missing the point? Because God keeps us in his love, we obey him and keep his word, which keeps us in his sustaining grace. The love of God and the grace of God does not absolve us from human responsibility. Let me say it another way. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? We don't keep ourselves in the word of God and in the love of God because we have to. We keep ourselves in the love of God because we get to. How do you stand firm? Keep yourselves in the love of God. And some of us want practical steps, and Jude says, I got you. How do we practically keep ourselves in the love of God? As Pastor James reminded us earlier, how do we love God and love our neighbors? Because some of us are going to ask, well, God, I will love my neighbor, but I live by myself, which means I don't have any neighbors, which means I don't have to love anybody, which is why I live by myself. And then the Lord says, but Josh, you don't understand my love. And Jude says, we keep ourselves in the love of God by building one another up. Build yourself up. He doesn't say build yourself by yourself up. That's a plural. We build each other. How do we do that? We build each other up by loving each other, by singing the songs of our faith, by opening up the word and just to look around and see someone else that has a Bible that says, man, they love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. If they do that, then I can do that. And when I'm wavering and they're not, that's a lifeline. Church, do you understand what you do when you gather? Do you understand what you do for someone else because you're here today? And you thought, oh, Western Christian, that worship was just about you. Do you understand the eternal difference you make when you worship God openly and boldly? And I just think we will never understand until we get to glory that one day someone might meet you on some dusty, goldy road somewhere in heaven and say, and I was ready to give up, but I saw you singing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I wanted that day. But your faith and God working through you and God's love keeping you and through you was able to keep me. Build yourselves up in a holy faith, Jude says. Do you feel the weight of your faith? It's a holy faith. It's not a faith that comes and goes. It's not a temporary faith. It's not a trivial faith. It's a holy faith. Because God has made you a holy people by faith in a holy Son. So how do you love people well? Build yourselves up in holy faith. He also says pray. No, don't just pray. Pray. You got to pray a certain way. We pray by the Holy Spirit. It's just pray in the Holy Spirit, which means it feels like we can pray out of the Holy Spirit. Because when I'm praying in the flesh, the Holy Spirit says, I don't want any part of that. Josh, you're on your own right now. Good luck. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit doesn't abandon us when we pray fleshly prayers. I actually think the Holy Spirit hijacks our prayers and says, Father, he didn't mean it. I got this. I'll rebuke him. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Because I think there are times that we pray when we don't know what we're praying. And somewhere between us and heaven, the Holy Spirit is reorienting our prayers and saying, Father, this is what he meant. And when God is answering those prayers, he's reorienting our heart to say, Josh, this is what you should have meant. Because prayer changes lives. And it changes our lives. Keep yourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Spirit. But not only that, he also says, waiting eagerly for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes fixed upon his return. A waiting church is an expectant church. An expected church is a holy church. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You want to contend for the faith? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Stand firm in his love. There's an old hymn that some churches sing, early 1900s, and some of you thought I was a young guy who didn't know old hymns. Joke's on you. It's called The Love of God, and one of the verses says this, and this picture of the love of God has always fascinated me. The hymn writer says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and could we with the skies the parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. You get the picture? He says, if we were writing with ink, every ocean was the ink, if every piece of grass on earth was the pen, and every person in the world was a scribe, this is what would happen. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Church, keep yourself in the love of God that is unfathomable on this side of eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to contend for that love and in that love and through that love. But Jude not only calls us to stand firm in the love of God, he says, now also, Pastor, you need to stand out. You need to be different. The but you in verse 20 says, you are to look different. Verse 22, how do we do that? He describes it. Have mercy on those who waver. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Have mercy on others, but with fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. How do we contend for faith by standing out? Well, we show mercy on others. Mercy looks different because the ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans, they did not see mercy as a virtue. They saw it as a weakness. So to have mercy on someone, they would say, you are weak. You're not virtuous. You're ungodly. And Jesus says, but you, oh man, but you, oh sister, you are different. To a world that does not value mercy, God values mercy and compassion over the strength of man. And just practically, how could we who have received mercy not show mercy on someone else? You show me a person that doesn't have mercy, and I will show you a person that's never received mercy. Jude says, we show mercy. And who do we show mercy on? Those who are wavering. Those who are struggling. Do you want to stand out for Jesus? Find someone who is facing difficulty and pour out your life into them. And if that's you today, if you've walked in here and, as Pastor Jerry said, if you stayed up too late, if you had the stomach bug in your house yesterday, and we had some families here, hopefully they're not here with the stomach bug. But if they are, and they are wavering today, if you've been beaten up by life, if you've had a diagnosis, if you've experienced a divorce, if you've lost a dear friend, or if you've faced grief this week head on, and you have walked in here and you said, well, I am wavering, I need mercy. The reminder of God's word that is to come to Christ and you will find mercy afresh. And if you know of someone who is struggling, the first thing that we should do to those who waver is to extend a hand and say, I'll help you. Because when I struggle, God's mercy meets me. And the least I can do to stand out is to meet you in your moment. Extend mercy to those who waver. But Jude continues, how do we stand out for Jesus Christ? He says, not only extend mercy for those who waver, he says, save some by what? Snatching them from the fire. Today, right now, There are 7,600 people groups in the world who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. There are people right now that are walking through the fires of life who have never heard that Jesus loves them, and they are walking a fierce road to hell, the eternal fire. We have a mission and a mandate to go. Why do we partner with Pastor Johnny in inner city Montgomery? Because there are people in inner city Montgomery who need to know that Jesus can snatch them from the fire. We go, we pray, we send. Why are we preparing to have people on our campus here tonight for Fall Fest? It's not because we like festivals. It's because we are going to pray with every single person who walks through our doors, because we are going to snatch them, God willing, from the fire. To say it is not too late for you, because you are still here. You want to stand out? Snatch people from the fire of hell through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we stand out. That's how we contend for the faith. But Jude says, but be careful, church, lest you get puffed up, lest you run into the fire with your fire helmet and your nomads, thinking that you can overcome by yourself. Jude says, dear friend, be very careful. Have mercy on others, but with fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. This is his way of saying, be careful that you don't get burned in the process. Because church, spiritual rescue is holy work, and sacred work requires holy caution. Be careful not to stain yourself with sin as you are reaching for the lost. We must anchor our hearts in grace as we extend the hand of mercy. Be careful. To stand out for Christ is not being louder or being prouder than the world. It is about being different, rooted in the love of God. So Jude says, contend for the faith. Stand firm. Stand out. But then he says, don't forget to stand up. Don't forget to stand up. And we are going to conclude Jude with this beautiful doxology. Doxology. Doxa, which is a word that means weight or glory or praise. So Jude finishes on this short summary. It's a glorious something. The word logos means word or words. So Jude is giving us beautiful, praiseworthy words to help us stand up. He says, now to him, not to you, because you don't do nothing by yourself. You don't save yourself. You don't keep yourself. You don't sustain yourself, Christian. It is God who does that work. That's why Jesus says, now to him who is able. I love that Jude brings us back to center. God, he doesn't say God might be able. He said he is able. Which means to any question that we could ask today of God, God, can you do this? The answer is already yes. To anyone who says, well, God, can you save me? Yes, he can. God, can you heal me? Yes, he can. Does God have the strength? Does God have the power? Jude says, are you not reading what I wrote to you? Sometimes I believe the biblical writers scratch their heads and shake their heads. They're like, can I not be more clearly? God is able. Whatever you can ask, he is able. This is the God that we love. This is the God that we serve. So to the one who has come and says, can God? The answer is already, yep. He is able. To do what? To keep us from stumbling. To keep us from stumbling. This image is of a shepherd protecting a weak, kneed sheep. Hebrews 12 describes the wavering of the world, that we can be weak and we can be wounded and we can be weak in the knees. Some of you watched old cartoons growing up and you remember Bambi kind of trying to walk. Remember weak kneed? You remember Bambi, right? Some of y'all had TVs. Before YouTube, guys, there's this thing called TV. And there's a cartoon called, sometimes I feel like Bambi, just trying to just frailly walk, finding my footing, finding my feet. And Jude says, if that's you, to the one who is able to keep you from stumbling, God himself will keep you from falling. Oh, what a glorious salvation we have. So if you have walked in here weak and tired, if your faith is more Bambi-like than Christ-like, he will hold you fast. And to those who will say, well, I'm past it, I've already fallen, Jude says, yes, I got you. Now to the one who is able to protect you from stumbling and to do what? To make you stand. To make you stand. To the one who has already fallen, Jude whispers good news. He will make you stand. Not help you stand up. Not prop you up. Not encourage you as you get yourself together. But he will make you stand. He will cause you to stand. By his power and by his presence, the ability to stand before God is in itself a miracle of grace. He will make you stand. And to whom will we stand before? Not proconsuls and not kings or judges, but before the creator of the universe. You and I will one day stand and give an account for our lives. Let that sink in. The one who told the mountains to go and the waves to stop and the stars to shine, to that God you will stand before one day and give account before your life. And Jude says, by faith, sister, by faith, brother, you will stand before that God. How? How has Jude lost his mind? How could we stand before that holy of a God? And then Jude doubles down. He says, not only will you stand, but you will stand how? Blameless. My translation says, without blemish. Now that is Old Testament language. That word was only used for a sacrifice that was worthy to be presented to the temple. And that sacrifice had to be a spotless lamb, a spotless sacrifice, worthy, without blemish, and blameless. Jude says, you're going to be like that one day. Because he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, what a glorious salvation we have. God can and he will. He will protect you from stumbling. He will actually cause you to stand. He will cause you to stand without blemish in his holy presence. And he doesn't do it, you hard-headed, weak-kneed people. No, the Bible says he does it this way. With great joy. With great joy. The joy is not a private happiness. It is overflowing. It is a public celebration of redemption complete. It's the Holy Spirit looking at the Son and saying, hey, Son, what you started in Josh, I carried to completion. Now, I did a lot of work, but we did it. And then the Father celebrating with the Son started on the cross, and with the Holy Spirit seals in our life and said, boys, well done. With great joy, we stand in his presence. That's why baptism is such a powerful picture on earth of that public joy of our profession. Baptism is a shadow of what one day we will experience in redemption. We stand here publicly with joy and say, Jesus is my Savior. And one day we will stand in the presence of God with great joy because Jesus is our Savior. Oh, what a glorious salvation we have. And to all of this standing up and standing out and standing firm, Jude concludes it this way in our life. He says, to the only God. The world has lots of little gods, but there's only one actual God. To that God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, be honor, majesty, power, and authority, not just right now, church, but before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Amen. Jude's doxology reaches its crescendo in these words. The only fitting response to such grace is the word, that small word that Jude gives us, amen. It doesn't really mean that I agree. It does mean that partially, but not fully. Amen means that what you said is right, and I agree with you, and I will live that out too. It's kind of the modern equivalent of the ancient person saying, yes, Jude, that's right. Our young adults would say, they would say amen this way. Let's go! That's what the ancient world is saying to this. They're not saying about their faith, to the only God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord be glory, honor, power, and majesty now, before time, now, and forever. Amen. No, the early church is saying, like, let's go, guys. Like, this is our faith. Yes, praise be the name of the Lord. And to this salvation, we stand up. How could we have any other response than to say, let's go. This is who we are. This is what we do. And because Jesus took our place, we will contend for our faith. And dear friend, let me just say this as we conclude. Before you ever put on a boxing glove, before you ever Bible thumped anyone for the name of Jesus Christ, he contended for you first. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He, Jesus, went to the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient. He died on the cross after he was suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was in the grave for 3 days. He rose again. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Before we ever contended for anything spiritually, Jesus contended for you. The Bible says it this way, while we were still sinners, while we were spiritual knuckleheads, Christ Jesus died for us. Oh, what a glorious salvation indeed. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ by faith, he did all this for you. Because he loves you. If you say, well, Pastor, how much does he love you? How much does he love me? Well, if the ink of the world was greater than the oceans, I couldn't write to you enough about God's love. That's how much he loves you. Flee sin and run to Christ by faith. Church, contend for the faith because he is worth it. Stand firm in the love of God. Stand out by the way you live. And stand up in the faith once delivered by the saints. So how do we respond to this? Jesus, let's go! Because he alone is worth it. Father,